of our target shed's distance. Oh, this is a mother load right here.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on it here.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a privilege to be here in Panama City Beach with the men and women of the United States Coast Guard. I want to come here personally and express my gratitude to you for the effort that you've waged in response to the BP oil spill. And I know Michelle wanted to do the same, so we're looking forward to having a chance to shake hands with you and thank you personally for this great work that you've been doing day in, day out.
Never seen. Let's go winding through canyons, deep and rugged and wild as our dreams. Come and sail on my ocean, ride these waves with me fast and slow. While the moon plucks our heartstrings, sweetest melody that we'll ever know.
The majority of oil has now evaporated or dispersed.
Sometimes I'll paddle and sometimes I'll row. We'll explore these wild rivers, follow this current deep into our out on the water.
In the early morning hours on Bastion Bay, the hum of diesel engines dominates the water. Brian Amos doesn't have a lot to talk about until the first shrimp net is pulled from the water.
Shrimp look fine right now. If I'd be hungry, I'd eat a couple right now. They're pretty nice size. They look healthy.
A welcome relief for shrimpers across the Gulf Coast, whose spring shrimp season was cut short. This is the first commercial season since the oil disaster.
Glad to see there's no oil coming up and messing with them too, you know, right now.
We're catching what we expect to catch, you know. I mean, we ain't got no oil or none of that. We kind of was worried about catching oil.
While many shrimpers are enjoying a good day one of white shrimp season, they're still battling a bigger problem, and that's the perception of the safety of Gulf seafood. So Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal is doing what he can to help change that.
It's my little boy's fourth birthday yesterday. We had Gulf Coast shrimp yesterday. So we're eating the seafood in the governor's mansion. This is the best seafood you can get anywhere in the entire country. And by the way, once BP agrees to our testing plan, this will be the most tested seafood you can get anywhere.
Shrimpers are more confident in the crop of the shrimp than they are the price they'll get for them.
We have no idea what we're getting for them until we get in.
Some of these boats will shrimp for 3 or 4 days straight before going back to dock. Mark Carlson, the Associated Press, on the waters of Bastion Bay, Louisiana.
The concern that Carolyn expressed was the issue of seafood and our testing and making sure that it's safe, and we are all over that and monitoring that carefully each and every day, hopefully continuing to deliver good news as the days goes on. And I mentioned to her that we already had some seafood in the White House. When the New Orleans Saints came up, we had a couple of po' boys. So right now we're feeling pretty good.
Turn on the television. Open up a magazine. Hear the broadcast of the massacre. Read about some tragedy. See the man with a pretty face. Summarize the daily news. Turn the pages, hear the whispering. All the voices telling you everything's fine, everything is okay. Don't you worry about a thing now. All our problems go away. Everybody close your eyes. Everyone look the other way. Everything is just ending. There's no trouble here today.
I think it's moving like north and northeast compared to where we were at this morning. In about 10 seconds, put me back on here.
Nalco has collaborated with the petroleum industry and government for many years to develop its Corexit line of oil spill dispersants and shoreline cleaners. Our advanced technologies efficiently and safely disperse oil in the open sea and in freshwater applications where it can be consumed by microorganisms. When oil is spilled at sea or in lakes, the oil floats to the surface and creates an oil slick. Following a spill, dispersants can be sprayed onto the surface of the oil slick by boats or aircraft. Through wave action, The oil is then dispersed through the upper regions of the water column. Let's look at this process in more detail. Due to its lower density, the oil floats to the surface and creates an oil slick. Oil spill dispersants contain surface active molecules known as surfactants. When the dispersant is added to the oil, the surfactant diffuses into the oil slick and rapidly migrates to the oil-water interface. The surfactants reduce the interfacial tension between the oil and water. Their presence at the interface reduces the energy required to disperse the oil into the water. With wave action, the oil is broken into tiny droplets that disperse through the upper regions of the water column. Microorganisms consume the oil droplets and dispersant, producing natural byproducts commonly found in the aquatic environment. This process occurs at a much faster rate when the oil is broken into smaller droplets by the dispersant. Nalco is committed to collaborating with industry and government to improve its oil spill dispersant technology by creating products that minimize the effects of an oil spill and are safe for the environment.
Studies have shown on silverfish and on shrimp specifically that Corexit is exponentially more dangerous than other dispersants that are available out there.
We are using an EPA-approved product. We are using a product that has low toxicity.
An Exxon report some years ago showed that the Corexit is actually four times more toxic than the crude oil itself.
Would you say that again?
We are using an EPA-approved product.
BP continues to spray a product called Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico despite demands from federal regulators.
You just listen to who makes the final decision, and in this case, BP made the final decision and told the EPA to stuff it.
But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
Again, we're calling the Coast Guard.
They get that BP has control of the Coast Guard.
A boat of BP contractors with two Coast Guard officers on board told us to turn around under threat of arrest.
They get that BP has control of the Coast Guard.
But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
We saw this with Exxon Valdez. We had 6,722 cases of upper respiratory illnesses. I'm still dealing with sick people 21 years later. 100% disabled. A lot of them have died.
The average lifespan of a person who did cleanup on the Exxon Valdez is 51 years old. Almost all those people who did work on the Exxon Valdez are now dead.
You just listen to who makes the final decision. And in this case, BP made the final decision and told the EPA to stuff it.
But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
The feds have demanded that BP switch to another chemical.
We are using an EPA-approved product.
In the last month, the company has used, brace yourself, more than 700,000 gallons of this chemical, which is toxic to human beings.
But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
First and foremost, we're going to continue to monitor and remove any oil that reaches the surface and clean up any oil that hits the shore.
They tell us technology is a wonderful thing. Stop to imagine the destruction it brings. One step forward and two steps back. Go from the light and into the black. And they treat us like fools. Don't stop to realize it's a game we all lose. On the road to self-destruction with every step we take. Ships sinking fast and no escape. Stops our rivers flow. It's time you and me we take responsibility. It's a fragile world in dire need. Cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know. Spending money finding life on Mars doesn't make any sense to me.
trying to live at the bottom of the ocean. Some things are not meant to be. What I want to know is where we're going to go. When the oceans rise and the strong winds blow, and the temperature melts the ice and snow. Time to wait, won't be long and it'll be too late. In this together and we're all at stake. Cause where we gonna go, I don't know.
Tonight's big story, a mystery is unfolding across Mid-South farms. Something is killing crops, trees, even weeds, and nobody seems to be able to explain why.
I'm Claudia Barb. Now, farmers are scratching their heads, and some are worried their crops may be lost to the mysterious plague. It's happening along a large swath of land near the Shelby and Tipton County border and elsewhere near the Mississippi River bottoms. Sean Scheibot is just back with more.
Richard, Claudia, take a close look. This is what has farmers worried. These tiny dots look as though something burned straight through the leaf, and they're finding this everywhere.
We found it all in the herbs, in the flowers, in the plum tree, in the weeds. It's apparently on everything.
Tony Holt grows organic produce that she sells at area farmers' markets. As these farmers inspect the new growth covered in the perplexing plague, they fear their entire crop may be lost.
It's sudden, and it's so wide, it's so large out here. Everybody's seeing it.
It appears to have hit everything. Crops, weeds, trees, and there's nothing in common.
Now, the farmers that we spoke with are convinced that something in the air caused this damage. They're asking the USDA as well as other experts to look into this problem, and we are too. Reporting live downtown, Sean Scheibot, WREG News Channel 3.
What are your thoughts regarding this chemical dispersant? What makes you feel so confident? I believe you compared it even to Agent Orange.
Well, it's not that I'm necessarily confident. I'm just concerned about the potential acute and long-term side effects of using something which really doesn't have long-term safety data.
And we know that the EPA... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, what I was saying is that I'm concerned about my patients who may come in. Now I actually add to my patient profile, have you been to the beach? Have you done any fishing in the Gulf? And do you have any new rashes? And I'll be concerned about new rashes that I don't recognize. I'll be concerned that possibly it is associated with either the oil spill itself or possibly the cleanup, which right now is being mainly done by Corexit.
And let me ask you, is it the dispersant itself or the, as you point out, the amount of it that is being used that would potentially cause problems here?
Well, that's a good question. We don't exactly know the answer to that question. All we know is that there's over 850,000 gallons of the dispersant has been sent into the oil spill, and we don't know what a safe concentration is.
And, you know, it's interesting because the company that makes this chemical dispersant says that they have no proof or there is no proof that some of these issues that we're seeing have anything to do directly with that chemical. Does that surprise you that they would be so adamant in saying, without any true knowledge and knowing that it has not been used in this quantity, that it is not the reason that these people have rashes and some of them have had to be hospitalized with things like nausea?
I do think that's very unusual, considering I reviewed the MSDS of Corexit, and it does say directly long-term exposure or high concentrations can cause CNS toxicity, central nervous system, nausea, vomiting, kidney disease, liver disease, as well as severe dermatitis.
What happens at this point with something like this? Do you wait until you have more patients coming in and complaining? As I said, one woman said her daughter was experiencing some problems. They went off to Florida, and she didn't see the rash anymore. How do we learn or know, or are we just waiting to see more signs and problems?
This is a great time for dermatologists everywhere to really step it up and really look for unusual rashes and exposures that patients may have. We need to take a good history, a good fishing and possibly beach history. We just ushered in Memorial Day weekend, the largest. I have mixed feelings about beach weekends, and now my feelings are even more mixed.
Wow.
So we need to also look out and reach out to other doctors.
sun that's rising. And in the nature of it all, there's dollar bills and politics disguising.
Planes are flying overhead at night spraying Corexit. You know, you're asking me, do you think it's getting on land? I'm telling you, it's getting sprayed on land. You know, and I know from my work with pesticide applications that even if you have a very good pilot, the drift can be of concern, but the secondary effects are the kind of volatilization, evaporation, and then movement. So it's applied, it sits on the surface, it comes on up a little bit, and then it moves around. And you know wave action, you know a bird landing there and then swim coming over here and landing there is going to be another mechanism to transport it. So do I think that there's dispersants mixing with our everyday lives? Absolutely. The Corexit dispersant issue is a complex and scary one. It's scary from the point of a toxicologist. It's complex from the point of the resource manager. My doctoral advisor, Dr. Ron Cherdima at UC Davis, was actually on the panel that they had used to advise for the dispersant use. They use a cost-benefit analysis. The costs of cleaning up the shore outweigh the costs of applying dispersants at the sea. Therefore, they perceive the benefit of the dispersants outweigh their negative effects. Okay, what value can you really put on the entire ecosystem of the Gulf that is threatened? They've turned a two-dimensional problem of oil floating on the surface into a three-dimensional problem of oil bound with Corexit, creating substances we know very little about, you know, transforming in the environment through bacterial process into other chemicals that we know absolutely nothing about, that is going to be impacting just about every single marine organism, including ourselves, okay? People need to realize that their water, their air, the sand they're walking on, the things they're touching when they wake up in the morning are coated with this stuff. And if you see it in a high concentration, it looks like radiator fluid. It is not a pretty sight. And the stuff is toxic. You know, the tests say no effect. I can tell you from managing those tests as a professional that you need to know exactly what test gave you what effect that you tested. So if it was no effect on the survival of 7 days of the fish, what happened to that fish at 10 days? Okay, that was my doctoral thesis. The pesticides that killed no fish at 96 hours, which is the EPA deadline, 90% of them died 2 weeks later. These were embryonic salmon. There are a lot of chemical effects that are not being measured by the standard EPA tests. The dispersant takes the oil, breaks it up, makes it soluble with water, right? Oil by itself won't mix with water. You put the dispersant in, it mixes with the water. So no longer are you looking at a case with oil here, water there. You're looking at a case where now we don't have so much of an oil slick. It's gone. Well, it's in the water column, so it's affecting more life. Now, how does it do that? It basically disrupts the natural ability of oil to bond with itself. Oil bilipid layers next to each other are the very basis of life. Each of us is made out of cells. Those cells are nothing more than an oil layer surrounding our DNA, surrounding our proteins and our RNA and all the other molecules talking to each other. You put in a chemical that directly disrupts that basic biological structure and you are putting yourself at risk from umpteen effects. This is a single cell trying to reproduce in the ocean and it is destroyed. I can tell you from personal experience, if that organism in that test beaker is paralyzed and incapacitated and its heart rate is half of normal, it is counted as alive. If that heart beats once in a minute, it's alive. And you will see a score of no effect if that's a mortality endpoint test. That is going to kill all of these larval organisms. Okay. And it's not just sea turtles that are reproducing right now. It's the birds and it's everything. So this spill came at a really bad time. Understanding what's behind these tests is part of understanding how toxic these chemicals are. And it's a big question mark right now. We are producing an experiment in the Gulf, the likes that no one has ever seen. And the top scientists admit that. So we're all part of the experiment. How do you feel?
Continue testing fisheries, and we'll be reopening more areas for fishing as tests show that the waters are safe. Already more than 26,000 square miles were reopened at the end of July, and another 5,000 were reopened earlier this week. And it's been incredibly hard on the people who earn their living on the water. But their livelihoods, not to mention the health of the people across this country, obviously depends on making sure that folks can trust the seafood coming from the Gulf, trust that it's safe, as it always has been. And as I told Carolyn, we've already been enjoying Gulf seafood, but we are going to keep on monitoring this to make sure that everybody's favorite seafood from the Gulf and favorite recipes are going to be treated, are going to be just fine.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Straight ahead, Bart, on 300.
Flaps up.